We are on the month of Av, heading to the month of Elul, and you will see one phrase very common during all the month of Elul, which is an acronym for Ani Le Dodi Ve Dodi Li, with a Spanish accent, which is taken from the Book of Songs, chapter 6, and it's I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. And that's what we start in a couple of days. And I'm sure that you're going to hear that a lot for the next 40 days. It's a time to be in touch with the Lord. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of teshuvah. And we're going to go through all those things. And we're going to go through the parsha of this week. However, I do want to encourage you. Shema came with a great idea. And... Does anybody know what is this called? A coin slot. That's what I call it. A coal carton. It has a specific name, which I forgot. Elizabeth. Leaners. Okay. So this is, Teshuvah is for 40 days, right? From the first of Elul until Yom Kippur is going to be 40 days. And you know what? These slots have 40 slots. And on each day, you can put a 25 cents a quarter there. 25 cents. Just 25 cents per day. And on the day of Yom Kippur, we know that we don't have a Mishkan in Israel. And we're not doing a sacrifice. And we're not doing any kind of this thing. But we can still work in our congregation and bring this carton all full. We only have 50, so hopefully at the end when we walk out, someone will be at the door and you can take one. You can take two, one for you, one for your wife, one for auntie, one for grandpa, right? And one for your kids. Just 25 centavos, 25 cents per day. Can I have who will be interested in? And this will be for the funding for the new building, for our new building, hallelujah, okay? So that'll be, for those of you who do math, $10 at the end of the counting. If we do 50, that'll be $500 that will go towards the funding for the new building. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so there are some interesting things coming back to here. For the month of Elul, and I'm just going to touch this for a few minutes, for a couple of minutes. And it's the 12th month of the Jewish year. And it's also the 6th month of the Jewish religious year. Because you know that we have two head of year, and that is perfectly fine, and there's no contradiction in the Torah. Rabbi Jim has two books and has a lot of teaching on that. I encourage you to review his teachings. There is no contradiction. And it's a month of 29 days, and it normally between the month of August and September. Hallelujah. Next slide. And the month of Elul, which starts in 2 days, right? It's full of teshuva, like I was saying. And it's a time of preparation for the Moedim. It's a time of preparation for the high holidays for the fall. And this time we're going to be preparing for Yom Teruah, or Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. One being the day of the trumpet, or the day of the new year. And Yom Kippur being that special day, that those 10 days of all before that, and then we're going to Yom Kippur, in which we commemorate that it was the only day that the high priest will go into the Holy of Holies and intercede for each one of the people in Israel. Okay, it's a very special day. It's maybe the most solemn day in the Hebrew calendar. The month of Elul, let's go back, is blowing the shofar all over, except for Saturdays. We don't blow the shofar on Saturdays. Tokeya from here. So during the whole month, we blow the shofar except for Saturdays. And then it's a good time for forgiveness. And I'm sure the prayer meeting, and you're going to hear this throughout the whole month, it's a good time for forgiveness. Forgiving others, forgiving myself. And the most difficult part that everybody gets surprised, forgiving God. Many times people are so angry against Adonai. they are so mad because a beloved person died, because the son did this, because something happened, an accident happened. So it's a great time for forgiveness. And we go through the whole book of Psalms, and if we read like 3 Psalms per day, at the end of that, we're going to have at least 120 Psalms read. Let's go for the next one. And there are some interesting things that happened in the history of the month of Elul. Moses went up to Mount Sinai for the third time. Prophet Haggai started the second temple. The 10th of Elul, Noah dispatches the raven. The 17th of Elul dispatches the dove. And the 23rd of Elul, the dove came back with the olive leaf, right? And then the 25th of Elul, we will celebrate here, and I'm going to be teaching that day too, the first day of the creation. And on the 25th of Elul, Jerusalem walls were rebuilt. And these are some of the things that happened during the month of Elul. So it's a very strong month. It's a very emotional month. And I will encourage you to be seeking the face of Abba every day, going in the Hallel process, like upper, higher, until you reach the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Next slide. But what we're going to speak today about is about our Torah portion, which is the 45th Torah portion for this year. And it's called Re'e in Spanish, which can be translated as S-E-E, or Mira in Spanish, right? And there we have the Resh, the Aleph, and the Hey. Those will be the Hebrew letters for Re'e. And if I will be able to do like a subtitle, I will say that this is all about how do we show that we love Adonai. And if I can make another subtitle under that subtitle, that would be Purity in the Service to Adonai. And to me, this is one of the parsha that I have to let you know. It's 4 chapters, and I would like to teach on every verse of those 4 chapters. Because it's so much. There's so many important things on those 4 chapters that I had a hard time trying to condense and decide on which of those things I was going to teach. But on the next slide, we have 2 mountains, the Mount of Gerizim and the Mount of Ebal or Ebal, right? And this is exactly where the 4 chapters of this parsha were developed. This is where it happened. There is one mountain to the east, one mountain to the west, and Sikkim is right in the middle. Moshe, in Deuteronomy, now it's Moshe speaking, right? That's what I said like 3 weeks ago. Now it's not God, but it's Moshe repeating and repeating, rephrasing, restating all the previous 2 books. Moshe was here. 6 tribes were here. And another 6 tribes were here. These tribes were pronouncing all the blessings. If you follow my instructions, you will be blessed. If you follow the words that I tell you today, you will be blessed. But on the other side, Mount Ebal, there you go, thank you. They were pronouncing all the curses. What I found interesting is that this is a natural amphitheater in Spanish. Can someone read it in English? Amphitheater or amphitheater? Amphitheater. Okay. So, what is interesting is that they have found out that if someone stands here and speaks, people on both top of the mountain can hear it. That's amazing. For those of you that may be asking, how did Moses do that? Well, that's the answer. That's the natural answer. It was through the power and the anointing of Abba, right? But another interesting thing is that from here to here, if these people will shout out, these people will hear them. So they can be here from the valley to both mountains, or from the top to the other top. And that is very interesting, because to me that's the way that the Lord uses nature. What he has created, he uses in a miraculous way. In the perfect moment, in the perfect momentum. And he uses everything in nature for our own benefits. Hallelujah. Let's go for the next slide. And these are some of the things that we are going to see, or that you may, that you will see if you read in your home all the four chapters. We're going to see pagan shrines to be destroyed. That's one of my favorite, coming from my own background. A prescribed place of worship. Warning against idolatry. One of my favorite ones, coming from my background. Pagan practices forbidden. We're going to touch a little things about that. It's not possible to bring pagan practices into the house of the Lord. Many people will, you will identify with this. Well, they do this. Why don't we bring this? Because it's for Adonai. It's for Hashem. No, we cannot do those things. And we're going to watch those things. Clean and unclean foods. And there's a lot of controversy. Who should follow those diets? Who should not follow those diets? We're not going to go into those details. But we're going to touch some brush ups on those things. Okay? Regulations concerning the tithe. This is very interesting to me, because there's like three different kind of tithing, right? And every third year, the tithe needed to stay there. We're not going to have time. We will not have time to go over all those. But I'm encouraging you. Please read those four chapters. They are so interesting. Laws concerning the sabbatical year. Then the firstborn, the Passover is being reviewed. The feast of the festival of the weeks, which is Pentecost, and the festival of Sukkot, which we are about to celebrate, and I will be celebrating it in Israel. Hallelujah. Baruch Hashem, yes. So, if we start with the first one, let's go to the next slide. And this may be pagan shrines to be destroyed. So, Moshe is in the valley. And he's stating to his people, right on Deuteronomy 11:26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the mitzvah of Adonai, your God, that I am giving you today. And the curse, if you don't listen to the mitzvah of Adonai, your God, but turn aside from the way I am ordering you today and follow other gods that you have not known. And this is the first thing that we see. Moses said, when you go into the promised land, make sure that you destroy everything that has to do with idolatry. I don't want anything to stay there. And of course, we have to know how to interpret these verses. Because I am not encouraging you to go next door and do the same thing. I am encouraging you to go to your house and do the same thing, probably. Or to check in your body, to check in your drawers, to check in your closet. And if there is anything related to idolatry, if there is anything pertaining to 10 years ago, 20 years ago in your life, or 3 years ago in your life that is related to idolatry, that you can work on. Don't work on with your neighbor. Don't work on with auntie. Don't work on with your family in Texas. No, this is working with you, with yourself, with your home. Okay? And there are so many things that we see. And there are so many levels of kadoshim, of holiness, that we can take this into our own life. Some people may not even go to places or spend a dime in the place that is dedicated to any of those idols. Some people will say, well, I still have to buy and do my grocery shopping. That's fine if you think so. But if it's in your house, you shouldn't have any of these things in your house. This is idolatry, and the Lord is hot. It's only one, and we should serve only him. We should worship only him. Hallelujah. We cannot share his glory with any other god. Let's go for the second one. I am always right. Well, you should do that like this, because I think, because I have experience, because I've been in the gospel for 50 years, and I know. But you know what? Moses tell his people, don't do it your way. Do it Adonai's way. There is a way to worship the Lord. There is a way to follow the Lord. There is a way to serve the Lord. There is a way to come here and sing unto the Lord. And that is the Lord's way, which is in Deuteronomy, it's in Levitical, it's in Exodus, and it's in all the letters of Paul, from Paul, right? All these churches, encouragement from Paul. That's the way that we do it. That's the way that we're supposed to do it. We are not supposed to do it in our own way, because it's not about us. I always say to people, there's a way to worship. There's a way to surrender your life unto the Lord. You want to know how is that way? Read Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Exodus. Read through Torah. The Lord is going to tell you what he demands from you, what he wants from you. If we don't do that and we do it in our own way, I am very afraid that we will all end up in a different religion, in a different sect. Because it's going to be your way, your way, your way, and your way, instead of Hashem's way in the Torah. Don't we find out that out there? Rochester has 700 Latinos churches in the inner city. We found that like 2 years ago, so there must be more now. Over 700 Latinos churches, and everyone fights with each other. I'm sorry for my Latino people. That may be because of lack of submitting to the way of the Lord and my way. It's my way. And I want to worship this way. And I want to do it this way. But you know what? There's a way to surrender you unto the Lord once again. There's a way in which you have to worship, sing unto the Lord. Everything is in the Torah. So I really encourage you to go into the Torah and learn God's way instead of your own way. Does it bother you that I'm always right? I just can hear that at times. I will do it my way. Thanks. But it's not my way, it's the Lord's way. And when we are in a community, when we are in a congregation, many times the Lord's ways get down to the leader's way, right?
That's right.
In this house, to the elders, to the leaders of the groups, and to the congregation. That's the way that the Lord would normally operate in this house. Everything is about the Lord. Right? But Rabbi Jim cannot be in every single group. So he has appointed elders. Elders have appointed leaders. Leaders have appointed the leaders of each group. Right? And so. Is one more than the other? No, we are all morally equally. Together, we are all one. We are all at the same level. But we cannot all do the same type of work, the same type of job. And that is a satanic evil thought that is in the community, many communities today. You think that you are more than I because you're an elder and I'm no, we are all the same. But you have a work, you have a job, you have a position that I don't have. And this is very clear, maybe at a working environment, right? Some people may have, in my case, a Master of Science in Nursing. But if you go new to a company, your supervisor may be one trust with 2 years of nursing. That happens a lot. My supervisor has less academic degree than I have at my secular job, but I still have to submit under her because she's my supervisor. Is she more than me? No. Does she have a greater position than I do? Yeah, probably yes. But it's not about being more. It's about being submissive. It's about listening to the word of the Lord through the leaders. Hallelujah. And the leaders are holy most of the time, because you are the one who chose the leaders of this house. You are the one who vote to get the leaders of this house. So just be confident. And let's hear the voice of the Lord. through him, hopefully he will speak unto you in your heart, in your mind, in your brain, in your spirit. And when you cannot hear that, the leaders come, the rabbis come, the pastors, the elders, and everybody come in to help you. So let's do it the Lord's way. Let's continue. And like I was telling you, I would love to go through every verse, but we can't do that. So I'm just going to go 1 or 2 minutes through the most important verses that I think. The word of the Lord says, Moses says, be careful not to add or subtract from the words which I command you today. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Bible, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the whole Bible, the 66 books, we have to obey. We have to abide under all of them. We cannot just take a little bit here and a little bit here, make a salad, and then abide under those commandments that I choose to follow because they are more comfy to me. We have to abide under all those rules. I really love when I teach on Wednesday and people get like, yes, because that's not the way they taught me. And I said, well, let's read. Let's read. And they say, yes, I'm reading it, but I can see their face. They are like, I'm reading it, but I don't want to believe it. But it's there, so what can I do? And that's the way that it's supposed to be. I just love that. When I read Torah, and I say, oh, my gosh, I've been doing this wrong for my whole life. This is the way that I'm supposed to do it. And I've been doing it like this. And then I start fighting with myself, right? And then I start saying, well, maybe I've been doing it like this because of the circumstances. And I try to do all kinds of excuses. But sooner or later, the Ruach HaKodesh just come over me and washes all that old nature. The Holy Spirit start working on me. And I get cleansed through the blood of Yeshua, my Messiah. And my body and my thoughts get renewed through the Word. Hallelujah. And I start becoming the new man through the Bible. And that's why it is so important not to take away or not to add. It is very interesting that in my Torah classes for my boy, yesterday, we are writing the book of Genesis. Every day, we write 3 verses, right? And he added something to the last verse. So I was correcting it, and I looked at like all the translations that I have from. I said, where did you get this from? He said, I just put it there. What a moment to teach that. What a moment to teach that. No, honey, you can. Yes, but that is part of the Bible. Yes, it's part of your Bible in your mind, but it's not part of the Torah. And it was something good, but it was not part of it. Of course, I had to show him Revelation. To anyone who adds to this verses, to this word, I will add plagues unto them. And to anyone who subtract or take away from the words that I have given you, I will take their names out of the book of life. Some translations are so strong saying that, right? So nothing to add, nothing to subtract. When we don't like anything that we read, when we don't like something that we read, we call upon the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal me, show me. Make me able to do this. Hallelujah. And that, of course, will include, you know, commandment number 4. We cannot change, subtract, or add. It's commandment number 4. There is now a meme on Facebook. If commandment number 4 is for some people, why don't you tell that to your partner, to your wife, about the 7th commandment? Ooh. If the 4th commandment, which is the Shabbat, it can be variable and it all varies, then the rest of the commandments will vary. Adultery, killing, lying. Okay, let's go to the other one. Beware of the false prophets. And this is a very interesting one. In this part, Moses, and I'm giving you as a homework to read the 4 chapters. I'm just going over verses that I'm taking out. In this part, what Moses is saying, if a prophet comes to you and prophesies, and that prophecy comes to happen, but then that prophet asks you to come and follow idols, Do not pay attention to the prophet. Do not do it because I am testing you, says the Lord. And we are finding that more and more and more. And many people can get distracted, and many people can get charmed or enchanted, right? There's so many prophets out there, but you have to discern all the spirit. Rabbi Reuben, how am I going to discern the spirit if the prophet abides under Torah? It's abiding under the Ruach HaKodesh, under the Holy Spirit. If the prophet is not abiding, is not following the commandments, that may be something to discern. But Moses is very clear. You will find people that will say things, and those things will come to happen. That doesn't mean that they are prophets of the Lord or that they are speaking on behalf of Adonai. That may well mean that they have a spirit of witchcraft or a divination, or that they just know more facts than what you know. They're more knowledgeable and they know the surroundings, and they can come with conclusions that may seem as prophecies, but they're not prophecies. But you do have to be very careful with whom you receive a word from and who you give a word to. And the thing that I often find is, Rabbi Reuben, but he told me it. It came to happen. That doesn't matter, says the word. And the word tells you something even stronger. Next one. If someone invites you to go to other gods or idols, I should say idol because there's only one God, the God of Israel. The rest are idols. If someone invites you to go secretly and follow all their gods, you know what the Torah says? Stone them, kill them. I am telling you, we're not going to do this with the neighbor. But we can take a lot of learning from this Torah portion. If my friend, my best friend, is always inciting me to go and worship idols, it may be the time to change a friendship. If the hanging group that I am often with is always doing things, they are always doing things that are not according to my faith, to the faith of Torah, it may be the time for you to go into another group. Are you understanding? We're not going to kill no one. We're not going to stone anyone. But the Bible is very clear. This is the way that it was. And if everything is going to be restored in the millennium as it was in the beginning, I may think that this is the way that it's going to be one day again, because everything is going to be restored to the beginning. That's the millennium, right? Where everything will be restored. So very, very careful. Do not take your ear to listen to go to places that are against Torah. And there are so many places that they are so nice and that they may feel so nice. But this is not about feeling. This is about the truth of the Torah. And this is getting harder and harder as I go on. The next 4 minutes, it may get harder. But that was the same thing that Moshe did. Right now, in this very moment, in this very day, you have the blessings and you have the curses. You have to decide to go for the blessings or to go for the curses. I will stay neutral. You cannot stay neutral. What about if I don't make a decision? That may mean that you are under curses, because nobody has to do any decision to be condemned, because the word is already condemned. People have to make a decision to be saved by accepting the blood of Yeshua, Messiah, right? And accepting the word of God and abiding now under the blessings of the Lord. But most important, many people get very confused. But I'm not speaking about being safe or not being safe. I'm speaking about blessing or curses. I'm speaking about how you walk on this life. This is not about being safe or not being safe, because we all know that we are not safe by following Torah, or we are not safe by trying to follow certain rituals, we are saved through the blood of Messiah Yeshua, right? Who shed his blood 2,000 years ago and delivered me from the hands of Satan. That we all know. There's no other name in which I can be saved but the name of Yeshua HaMashiach Ben Elohim, the Son of God. There's no other name. There's no other bridge to the Father but the bridge of Messiah Yeshua. That has to be very clear. But this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how you demonstrate that you love God. How you show yourself and show God that you really love Him. It is very strange for me to love someone and do the opposite that that person likes. For example, if Rabbi Yehudi will come to the synagogue and Rabbi Yehudi is a vegan, would I take him to Applebee's and show them two steaks? Well, I'm loving him, I'm spending my money, and I'm taking my time to take him out for lunch. And I'm loving him because he gave a good word. But that would be kind of awkward, right? Acting the opposite of that beloved person's likes. My wife likes to go to Santo Domingo every year. Would I not take her to Santo Domingo every year, but take her to Japan or China? Well, it's my money and I'm doing the best that I can, but it's not about doing the best that I can. It's about acting according to the word. That's what it's all about. John says, if someone says that he or she loves the Lord, but do not follow his commandment, such person is a liar. Wow. Liar. So this is how we show that we love the Lord, by abiding by walking in his path. Once again, this is not about being saved or not being saved. That's another topic. But this is about walking in blessings, walking in victory. This is about walking the way that the Lord asked me to walk. This is about receiving all the blessings and all the things that the Lord has prepared from the beginning of the creation to give me, to grant me as I follow his commandments. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Let's go for the next one. Oh, can we go back just one? Be very careful with this. I can bring a whole teaching about that. Be very careful. Because it's not about being ecumenical with the one who worships Allah and let's all gather together because, well, we all worship one God. No, it is not that way. We have to read Leviticus. We have to read Exodus. We cannot do the same way that the pagan do to our God, the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? It's not, that's a very bad thing. Okay? So be very careful. And be very careful if you are participating in ecumenical meetings. Come and see Rabbi Jean, Pastor Tom, or me, and we can guide you. Some are okay if they are all Christian, Torah-based. But it may not be okay to gather with people who worship four different idols and me to be there as well, worshiping all together. That may not be good. If you are into that, please come and seek some guidance from us, okay? Let's go to the next one. How many debates we have here? Rabbi Reuben, that was for the Jew. No, that's not for the Gentile. No, that's just for the one that get incorporated. No, that's not. That's not the seven laws of Noah. We are not going into that today. But this was given as well to the people of Israel. And this was one of the commandment to eat clean. Not going into details, I can talk as a nurse for 30 seconds. A pork meat has worms that cannot be killed by heat. If you pour a Coke on a piece of pork chop before you put it in the fried pan, all the worms will start to get alive again and will start to come out. those cannot get killed by heat. When you eat them and they get with all the acidic, which is in your belly, to put it in a simple way, that's gonna create a lot of harm. But you know what is very interesting? And I know this is a very sensitive topic. Sometimes we don't pay attention to this, which is in Torah. But then we suffer from a heart attack or from blood pressure, triglyceride, and then we go to our primary care doctor, and maybe the first thing that he's gonna say to all the Latinos here is, you cannot eat pork. That goes against the diet that you have to follow now. And then we pay attention to the medical doctor once it's too late, instead of being paying attention to the word of the Lord and prevent, avoid all those things, okay? So part of that is not to eat blood, not to eat pork, not to eat lobsters. And we have two easy ways to remember. Split hoof and choose the cut. Those animals we can eat. The ones with split hoof, teach the kids, right? And the ones that chew the cud, they have like two stomach, and they take it from the first stomach to the second, and then they bring it back to the first stomach, and they keep on digesting. So those animals we can eat. From the sea or from the water, those that have what? Fins and scales. Right? So if they have both, we can eat them. We're not going to make a list of any of those, and each one of you have different ways to observe it. That is fine, but I just want to bring you and call up your attention so you can read and read more. Famous red lobster, poor red lobster, that does not have fins or scales. So according to Leviticus, to Deuteronomy, we shouldn't do that. Let's go to the next one. Okay, so those we can eat. Yeah, that's a very kosher cattle, right? Next one. It does say something about, if you read it in your home, which I hope you wish, about milk and meat. You have to be very careful and know how to interpret that. Okay, there are some brothers that just avoid those, and ones that they don't care. There are some people that even avoid cheeseburger because it's lactose with, it's dairy with meat, with protein. Once again, we're not going to go into all the details, but I do know as a nurse from my nutrition class that we should not take milk with heavy proteins because that makes a whole mess in the stomach. Okay? Of course, when the Torah is speaking about that, it's speaking probably about a right, an evil right. It's not about what we think it is today, but it is there, just in case. That's why the guy with all the question mark, because it may be one of those culture diet items that is more controversial, right? Next slide. Finally, the Shemitah year. That's towards the very end, maybe in the last chapter, the last fourth chapter. And it speaks about that every 7 years, the land has to return to their own owners. And that's the part that we normally know, that we normally preach, and that we're going to be free and delivered. But the thing that I like to preach today for one more minute is that it also says that we ought to forgive the debts from our neighbors. In the Shemitah year, if Kathy owes me $1,000 from last year in the Shemitah year, I need to forgive that debt. It's zero now. Wow. I told you that I like when you get them uncomfy. So, every now and then, we should pay attention to the Shemitah year. And we should do the same thing that is ordered for the Shemitah year. If someone owes us something and that person cannot pay, just forgive it. Declare a Shemitah year for your life. You will be abundantly blessed. Are you going to do it with every one of your debtors? Hopefully not. But if the Lord tells you to do it, he will compensate for what you're doing. But this is my last slide. Shemitah year. We're not on a Shemitah year. But you can proclaim one in private. Ethel owes me $50 from the last lunch. I'm only kidding. And I will proclaim to myself, I'm going to walk in a Shemitah year. I'm just going to forget about that. She owes me nothing. Okay. Felipe, he didn't do good to me last time, and I still have that resentment. Shemitah year. I'm just going to release it. I'm going to leave it. I invite you to do that right now. If anyone owes you something, if anyone is against you, or if you are against anyone, just release it. Release it, as in the Shemitah year. I'm not proclaiming a Shemitah year. I'm just saying that we can act as if we were in a Shemitah year. Avinu Makeinu. Let's pray. There's four chapters on this portion. It's just impossible to teach on each one of those verses. I have brought at least 10 topics here. Hopefully you will continue to work in the mind of Congregation Shema Israel and the visitors so that they can look for more and more and more. In this moment, we have to ask you that we don't want to do anything with idolatry. If there's any idols in our home, help us to get rid of those things. If there is any thing in our room, in our drawers from the past, even if it has an emotional significance, we don't want that. We want to obey your word above any emotion. Father God, if there is anything that we are eating that is harming our body, show us, reveal to us your diet so that we can improve our health and have more time for the kingdom, more time to work in your kingdom. Avinu Makeinu. If there's anyone interfering, any friend, any neighbor, any family member that is inviting us to go and do idolatry, to go and do things that you detest, Father, give us the wisdom to handle that. Stand firm and say no without breaking any relationship. And if a relationship needs to be broken, let it happen, Father, because we just want to obey you. Father, if there's any debtors in our surrounding, if anyone owes me something, it may be the time to release, to do a Shemitah. I want to forgive anybody in this congregation, Father. I want to forgive my parents. I want to forgive all the leaders. I want to forgive the elders. I want to forgive Father, Rabbi Jim, Rabbi Reuben, Pastor Tom. Sometimes they are so busy that they walk by me and they don't look at me or they don't greet me. Just they're so busy. Now I understand, Father, and I want to release them. I invite you, congregation, to release any bitterness that is inside of you in this very moment. And ultimately, I want to ask you to decide, for the word of the Lord, to decide for the blessings that the Lord has for you to give you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. I took the first two verses of the chapter, and I went word by word to the Hebrew, and this is what I got. Taking it from the Hebrew and trying to compose all those things together. And this may be directly from the Lord. Observe. I will make you perceive what I lay before and behind you. In your presence, I will always, continually, day by day, grant you blessings and prosperity through a treaty of peace for you. But a curse if you execrate and do the opposite by not obeying, by not publishing, by not agreeing, by not declaring my ways, but departing and avoiding and removing or rebelling against my commandments. Woo. Father, it is up to you now to decide. I just don't want to end this without giving you the opportunity to express verbally, I will decide for the blessing. You don't have to do nothing. The curses and the blessings are there. There's no way to escape. You will either have to go 104 east or 104 west. There's no other option. The blessings or the curses. Can I give you 15 seconds to decide in your mind and express it? Father, I want to think that everyone in this house will decide for the blessings. In this very moment, I pray in a loud voice, agreeing with all the congregation that may be in a very low voice. And I shout out, Father, that we do want to choose, pick up, and decide for your blessings. Father, please bless us as we decide to follow your commandments. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray, amen. Give thanks unto the Lord.